Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share this message with you entitled 100-Fold Potential. Jesus taught in the parable of the sower that 100-fold harvest is available. The potential exists for every person to experience a 100-fold harvest of God's Word in every area of our lives. So if the potential exists, how is it that not more of us are enjoying the 100-fold harvest of God's Word manifesting in our lives? God isn't withholding anything from us, so where is the problem? We're going to discover where the problem is in this message. I hope that you enjoy it. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us your Word that we can trust and put all of our confidence in your Word and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your Word will produce exactly what it says. And we thank you for it, Father. We have every confidence that when we put our faith and trust in your Word, in you and your Word, which is it's the same, that we will have the results that your Word tells us. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Ghost, our teacher, who's been sent to teach us individually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, the gift of your life to us, so precious. We do not take it for granted. We do not take for granted the redemption that you provided for us, redeeming our lives from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty, and all the effects of the curse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And right now, I come against any of the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your Word, I believe that we have the understanding, and Father, that your Word will produce 100-fold in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently we've been discussing what it means to be a success in the kingdom of God, a success in our life, in our ministry, in every area of our life. And this evening we're going to kind of take that and go in a specific direction with it. We've been talking about Saul and David, and we've used the example here recently about David and Goliath, and we'll kind of refer to that event tonight as we look at something very, very specific, and it's God's Word, but more, not just God's Word, but God's Word producing in our life, and how to get that accomplished. Because if we can get God's Word producing in our life, we have His ironclad guarantee that His Word has within itself the potential to cause itself to come to pass 100% of the time. 100% of the time. So if His Word, if God's Word, it never fails and it produces 100% of the time, then why is it that in my life that I don't see necessarily the 100-fold or 100%, however you want to say it, return on the investment of His Word in my life? How come I'm not seeing that? Well, it could be a number of reasons why. And as I was preparing for this message, and I was thinking about how to present this in such a way that I can refer to familiar passages, familiar verses that you've heard for years, and yet do it in such a way that you're going to see it maybe in a little different light, and is going to mean something to you that maybe before it didn't. And as I was thinking about this, the thought came to me that, you know, so often we, I don't know why we do this, but we seem to do this. We collect around, you know, one group of people in the body of Christ collecting around one particular idea. And then you have this other group over here of the body of Christ, and they're collecting around a particular idea, a concept, a truth, if you will, from the Word of God. And it's almost like they do it to the exclusion of the other truths that are there. Or maybe not totally to the exclusion, but they don't give the other truths their due, if you will. And for example, you have the people that are the word of faith, and I don't know, maybe I would consider myself in that group to a certain degree, because, and I think every believer to a certain degree should be in that group, because the word of God is where everything comes from in our walk. That's where it all begins, from the Word. You didn't get saved without the Word of God manifesting inside of you, producing the new birth. But it started because the Word, somehow you heard it, somehow got inside of you, and it produced. So you have a group of people that everything is the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And please don't misunderstand, the Word is vitally important. It's where we, like, again, it's where everything originates for us in this walk. But you have another group over here that it's all about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And please don't misunderstand me on this point. I think the ministry of the Holy Spirit, vitally important. And it's sad to me how so many in the body of Christ completely ignores the ministry of the Holy Ghost, or they only view his ministry on a very limited basis. It's as if, well, you received all the Holy Ghost that there is at the new birth, you know, which reminds me of a minister who was preaching in front of a group of people, and someone, you know, they were of a certain denomination, and this individual preaching was talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and this individual stood up and made a, you know, big show about how he had all the Holy Ghost when he got born again. He had all the Holy Ghost there was, and the minister that was speaking in such godly wisdom, When I heard this, it really astounded me. He said, "Well, brother, if that's all the Holy Ghost you want, then God bless you, you know." And he spoke up. He's like, "Well, I didn't say that." And he goes, "Oh, so you would like more? Oh, yeah, I think I would. Well, come down here, brother, and you can get more." And he came down, and lo and behold, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Because there is more. There's more than just the Holy Ghost at the new birth. There's being immersed in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And for myself as a minister, I don't ever want to get to the place that I'm not presenting the message of the Holy Spirit, that I'm not speaking to people about being filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's so vitally important. Speaking in tongues is such a wonderful gift that God has made available to us. But when we focus exclusively on the Holy Ghost and his ministry, and again, very important, very wonderful aspect of being born again and having the infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. But it's not to the exclusion of the importance of the Word of God. What really needs to have happened is this. There should be a marrying together of the Word and the teacher, the Holy Ghost, together. And instead of just being so Holy Ghost-minded, and I say that very carefully, because I would never do anything to offend or say anything negative about the Holy Ghost, not in any way. But we can't look at one to the exclusion of the other. There needs to be a joining together where we have the Spirit and the Word together, and we celebrate both of them simultaneously in unison, because they are in unison, they are one, because God in His Word is one, and the Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. So we should not just be so word minded that we aren't that we're not talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost and vice versa. We should be joining these two thoughts together, joining these two entities, the Word and the Holy Ghost, together in the ministry of the Holy Ghost as the teacher. And if we can do that, I am so confident that we're going to see even greater results in our life. You see, we've been talking about success in the ministry, or success in life, success as a born-again child of God. I want to see something being produced in my life as a born-again child of God. I want to see the fruit manifesting of serving the Lord, walking with Him, seeing His will being accomplished in my life, in and through me, blessing other people. I want to see that, and I know that you do too. So, how do we get to, from where we are, to this place where there's a potential of 100% of the time the Word is producing? Because I can show you in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at that, that there's a potential. Remember, there was 30-fold, and this was the seed that was sown, the seed being the Word of God sown in good ground. There was 30-fold return. There was 60-fold return. And there was 100-fold return. Now, keep in mind, and this is something that kind of eludes people, and it eluded me at times, the seed in that last example from, and we'll look at that parable, the parable of the sower sowing the Word, the seed that was sown in that last part of that parable was sown into good ground. The other ground had issues, but not the good ground. And yet, even in the good ground, there were still 30-fold, which meant that if a person was only receiving 30-fold of harvest, there was still 70% that they lacked. Or 60-fold, there was still 40%. But then there was some that received 100-fold. Now, a 30's good, 60's good, but if you're like me, if there's a 100-fold return out there, I want that. I don't want to be satisfied with anything less than that 100-fold. So how do I get to that place? Well, Here's where I think that we need to more consciously marry together the camp, if you will, or the group of people that are Word people with the Holy Ghost people, because it's Holy Ghost that's going to bring us to this place where this Word that we're sowing in our heart is producing that 100-fold. Let me show you a few scriptures before we get to Mark chapter 4. 1 John chapter 2. There's two verses here that I have looked at for years. Really haven't taught a whole lot on them, but I can see here where it really does fit in to this type of a message. Verses 20 and 27. Look at these two verses. Verse 20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Boy, I tell you what, I kind of chuckle whenever I look at that, because I think about if someone's looking at that literally, then they think, oh, okay, so I know all things. The potential for you to know all things is there. The potential. And the potential is there because you have an unction. Now that word unction, if you look down at verse 27 where it says, but the anointing which you have received, the anointing and the word unction are charisma in the Greek. Same word for both of those. The anointing, the charisma, the unction that you've received, is it not the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Think about Jesus. See, the word charisma comes from the same root that Christ comes from. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one that was to come. Well, what caused him to be the anointed one? It was the anointing of the Holy Ghost coming upon him. So if you look at this and it says, you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Is that not the same thing that Jesus was walking in? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. We have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And where it says, and you know all things. When you were born again, the light came on inside of you. Your spirit became reborn with the life of God, and you have the potential of knowing the Word of God. The Word of God is not supposed to be closed to you. It's open to you because you have the light of life, the life of God inside of you. The potential is there, and now you have the teacher. And you have that potential of knowing all things, but there's something that needs to happen between the unction and you and the Word coming into you. See, just having the Holy Ghost without His active participation, His active ministry inside of you, in it, coupling that with the Word coming inside of you, the potential's there, but where's the fruit? Where's the Mark chapter 4? Where's the hundredfold coming in as a result? The hundredfold manifestation, the hundredfold of the Word producing in your life. And I could sit down and talk with you, and it wouldn't take very long at all for me to discover the areas of your life where there's not a hundredfold of God's Word producing. So why is that? Well, it's either the Word not going in, or the Word going in without the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the unction, the anointed one, the teacher bringing the revelation of God's Word to your reborn human spirit, so that the hundredfold manifestation of the Word can take place inside of you. See, there has to be this joining together. The teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Word going inside of you. I'm telling you what, the Word will produce 100% of the time, so long as what is being planted into has all of the requirements necessary to enable it to produce that hundredfold. It will do it. There's nothing at all wrong with the Word. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The problem comes with us. It's here. It's right here inside, where the Word is either stolen away or it's rendered unfruitful. Those are the problem areas. But even in the good ground, this is what I really want to draw your attention to, and I believe the Holy Ghost wants to draw your attention to this. Even in the good ground, there's still a demarcation. There's different levels of productivity, when all the while the Word itself will produce at the highest level. So if it's not producing at the highest level, then it's not the Word's fault. If He's given us the Word that is incorruptible, the Word of God, incorruptible, and He's given us the teacher, then it only stands to reason that if we are properly empowering the teacher to do what he's been sent to do, and the ground has been properly prepared, that we should see the hundredfold in our lives. Not just settle for the 30. The 30 is good. I'm casting aspersions at the 30 and the 60, because I'm not. But why settle for the 30 and the 60 if there's 100? See, I want, and I believe you want, to walk in that 100. And I believe the key to that is by empowering this person of the Holy Spirit in cooperation with the sowing of the seed of the Word of God inside of us. Here's what I'm seeing, that it has to be a mutual cooperation between these two, between the Word being sown and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It can't just be, I'm word, and not having the empowering of the Holy Ghost to take that word that's going in and to minister that word and bring the revelation into our spirit and cultivate till the ground of our heart. See, the seed going in is wonderful, and I believe that in some cases that people have seen results because they have just so dogmatically sown the seed that even though they lacked incorporating the ministry of the Holy Ghost in their life, they were still successful because they were able to plant and keep planting and keep planting enough of the Word inside of them that eventually they were able to outrun the things that would choke off the Word or that render it unproductive until they got the harvest. But there's a better way than that. And see, maybe you're on the other side of the tracks. Maybe you're the person that is Holy Ghost focused. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I keep saying that because I don't want you to think that I'm in any way speaking disparagingly or against him or his ministry. I'm not. But when we so focus on him and not give our attention to the Word or the sowing of the Word in our life, I think what we do is I think we handicap him. And as a result, it makes it more challenging than what it should be for us to see the fruit manifesting. I don't think I can say it better than that. We don't want to handicap the ministry of the Holy Ghost by only focusing on his ministry to the exclusion of the Word, nor do we want to handicap the ministry of the Word by focusing exclusively on the Word and not incorporating the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We want to join these together. And I believe that when we have the Word coming in and we're confessing the Word, we're meditating on the Word. As I said that, this thought came to my mind. And I heard another preacher preach this, and I think it fits in very nicely right here. We've been talking about David and Goliath, and we talked about David and the five stones. But if you go back and look, and I'll just turn there real quick because I marked this before we went on the air. In 1 Samuel 17, I want to bring this one single point to your attention. In verse 40, it says that he took his staff, that's David, in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And I like what I heard someone say about this. You know, you notice that it specifically identified those stones as smooth. You know, they were in the brook. What happens when you have rocks that are in water and there's a movement that takes place? The water causes those rocks to tumble around and roll around and they smooth off the rough edges. Because generally speaking, rocks have jagged edges, unless it's been rolling around in water and tumbling around in water, and water's been rushing over, and it breaks off those rough, jagged edges until it's smooth. I tend to agree with the preacher that said this. I believe that it says smooth for a reason. And I believe that smooth stones, those 5 smooth stones, are type and shadow of what is to happen inside of us as we take the Word of God and we meditate on that Word and we let that Word roll around on the inside of us until that Word becomes one with us. We become one with the Word. See, that to me is a type and a shadow of the Word becoming one with us. And as a result, he took that stone, and what did he do? He sunk that stone right in the forehead of Goliath. And as we take the Word of God and allow that, meditate on, allow it to tumble around inside of us, become one with that Word, and that revelation is unlocked inside of us. The revelation of what that Word is, the image that's in that Word, becomes one with us. Now we have what we need to sink that stone in the enemy's head. See, as long as that Word is just black ink on white paper and we're trying to confess it and it's just not sinking in, We're continuing to do it. And eventually, you may find yourself at a place that you have confessed yourself right into that revelation. What about if we had the ministry of the Holy Ghost, particularly through praying in other tongues, meditating the Word, praying in tongues? The Holy Ghost is able to more easily unlock that image that's in that Word and bring that revelation into our heart, so that now we are equipped and ready to sink that stone, if you will, in the enemy's head. Hallelujah. That's good. I like that. So one of the other verses before we get to Mark chapter 4 that I wanted to bring to your attention was verse 27 back in 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing, see, here's that word, charisma. Unction is the word used in verse 20. The anointing which you have received of him, think about that. The anointing. Think about the word Christ. I remember hearing another minister speaking about how he, just to change the thought process in his mind, when he saw the word Christ, you see, people, it's not Jesus' first name or last name. It's not Jesus and then Christ is his last name. Christ meaning the anointed one in his anointing. So every time this minister saw the word Christ, he just simply said the anointed one and his anointing. Who was Jesus anointed with? He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. So now when we look at this, but the anointing which you have received, well, who in the world could that be talking about if it's not talking about the Holy Ghost? The anointing, the anointed one in his anointing, the Holy Spirit, which you have received of him, abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now stop for a minute. Does that mean we don't need teachers in the body of Christ? Of course not. But what it does mean is that you have within yourself, as a born-again child of God, baptized with the Holy Ghost, the ability to speak in other tongues, pray in other tongues, you have the ability to empower the Holy Ghost to teach you, so that those words, those black words on white paper that we call the Bible, as we meditate on them, he is able to take what we put inside of us through reading and confessing and meditating. He's able to take that, and the anointed one is able to bring the revelation of that into our spirit. But when it says, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, don't get the impression that nobody needs to have a teacher. That's not the case. And it's not the case that everyone is empowering the Holy Ghost to teach them. If that were the case, then we would all be saying the same thing. But we're not. And it's sad that we're not. Because some people take the word, they read it, they come up with some kind of wild idea about what the word is saying, instead of empowering the anointed one and his anointing to teach them what the true revelation in that word is. If we were all doing that, if we were all empowering the Holy Ghost, then we would all be saying the same things. And there wouldn't be all these different denominations speaking contrary ideas to each other and to what the word says. It wouldn't be the case. Let me read this again. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So, I don't know about you, but as I go back and look at Mark chapter 4, and I see the parable of the sower, and I see the hundredfold possibility, and I recognize that I don't necessarily have that present in my life in very many areas, if any. I believe there might be a couple of areas that I do have that, but I want to see it in every area. So where am I dropping the ball at if it's not here, by failing to better empower the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost to bring the revelation of God's word to my spirit? Because when that happens, I think you'll agree with me that there's a hundredfold return on the word. A hundredfold manifestation, a hundredfold productivity of the word. And it happens when the anointed one is empowered to be my teacher. You know, back in John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Isn't that just what we read in 1 John, the talking about the anointing that dwells inside of us? And then you go down to verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, for anybody that's been empowering the Holy Ghost to be their teacher for any length of time, you'll notice one thing, that empowering empowering of him to minister to you is not something that just simply happens. It's not something that is automatic, if you will. There has to be a door that we open, a switch that we flip, something that causes him to begin to actively teach us. In other words, just because the Bible says that he is your teacher and he teaches you all things does not mean that it is just happening just because the Holy Ghost has been sent. Period. No. He will be he is the gentleman of all gentlemen that will wait for you to acknowledge him, wait for you to begin to allow him the opportunity to teach you. And if you never do, if you never give him that opportunity, he will sit there quietly, then not make any fuss as you stumble through life trying to figure out what in the world does this Bible say, and all the time, all the while, here's the teacher ready and waiting to actively participate in your life, but you have to open that door. Well, how do you do that, Mark? Well, one of the best ways that I know of is when you pray in other tongues. Kodo bo shandarabasi, toro bo kodo bo sandarabasi. I'm telling you something. Some of the greatest revelation I've ever had has been as a direct result of time spent praying in other tongues and reading the Word. Just sitting there praying and reading. And it may not have come at that moment. See, that's one of the areas that some people make the mistake of thinking that I'm going to force the Holy Ghost right now. He's going to give me a revelation of the Word. Kodo bo sandarabasi. And they go off and they start trying to force the Holy Ghost to do something. Well, that's not the way it works. And here's why it's not the way it works. Each one of us is at a different level spiritually, in our level of maturity, in our walk with the Lord. You may not be at the level that you can receive a revelation that is beyond your current level, your current level of development. You may want something that is going to take time. It's going to take growth. It's going to take maturing in order for you to receive that. And just trying to force the Holy Ghost to give you the revelation on a certain passage is not the way to do it. The way to do it is just read the Bible. Just read it. Particularly the New Testament, the letters, the epistles, read them, meditate, just pray in other tongues and read. Let the Holy Ghost take what you have equipped your spirit with and bring that revelation forward so that you too can walk in that hundredfold, because it is available for us. Now, having said all that, go over to Mark chapter 4. I know most people watching this are very familiar with Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. So I'm just going to read through the first part of this. I'm not going to stop and comment at this point. I'm just going to read through the first part. And it came to pass, this is Mark chapter 4, verse 4. It came to pass as he sowed. Oh, excuse me, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So everything up to this point, I can't help myself. I got a comment. Everything up to this point is no fruit. Okay? everything. Up to this point, no fruit. Now, verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold, and some hundred. So here, there is fruit production. But there's still, as I said earlier, there's still something happening that's not allowing the fruit to completely be produced in every instance, to hundredfold, fulfilling the hundredfold potential. All right? Verse 9, and he said unto him, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. I'm just going to shortly interject on that right there. What in the world is he saying? He's talking about the fact that he gave this to them in parable form. He spoke to the people in parable form so that at some point in time in the future that they would recount this parable, and there would be a potential, at least as they would recount this, for there to be the fruit produced from the recounting of this parable, that at this point they may be spiritually dead, unable to receive from it, but in the future, after his death, burial, and resurrection, when the light was on, then there would be a potential for them to receive. Now the disciples, he enabled them to receive and to see at this moment, and still they still struggled, even though he gave them the ability to understand. So verse 13, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then, and I just love this part, will you know all parables if you do not understand this parable? If this parable is completely dark to you, how are you going to understand the other parables? That right there speaks to the importance of understanding the sower sowing the seed of the Word of God, the importance of God's Word going inside of us and producing a harvest. If we don't understand this, we're never going to get the others, the other parables, because this is the fundamental, foundational truth that we've got to understand in order for the other ones to come in line. Verse 14, the sower sows the Word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. All right, so this is the explanation of the parable. We heard the parable, and in a rare opportunity that we have here to hear Jesus explaining the parable, we see him telling us about the sower that has sown the seed of God's word, and it has come in contact with soil that is so hard that the seed doesn't penetrate, not even a little bit. It sits right there on top, and it's just waiting for birds of the air to come and to snatch it right up. Now, previously, as I've heard the parable of the sower taught, I don't know that I've heard enough emphasis on this point right here. How often is the Word of God being sown and the ground is so hard that there's no chance whatsoever? No chance. That the seed is simply stolen right up. You see, Satan has to come after the word. He has to. He has to. When that word is sown, he's got to come after it. And if the person's, the soil of the person's heart is so stony, rock hard, that there's no penetration, the seed goes absolutely nowhere, but sits right there on the top, it is just a matter of time. Well, it says here, I said a matter of time, it says here that these are they that are by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown from their hearts. Immediately he comes. And he comes with all kind of deception. You know, he comes with the thoughts, oh, this isn't real. It's not real. And before you know it, the person that heard the truth is turning loose of it and accepting those doubtful, those thoughts of doubt and unbelief. Oh, God's not real. And before you know it, there it is. It's gone. The seed's gone. All right? So let's go on. Verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. This is, stony ground. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. All right? Let's stop there. They heard it. They heard the word, and they received it. They were so happy. They were jumping up and down. Oh, glory, glory, glory. But they failed to have a root. I went to a farmer's market today, got some real nice vegetables. That farmer, when he sold the seed, cultivated that seed, you know what happened? That seed took root. If that seed had never taken root, if the roots hadn't gone down into that soil to draw out the nutrients, there would have been no fruit produced. I would have got no vegetables today, but I did. Why? Because the seed was planted and root went down and began to draw out the nutrients. So what does that speak to? It speaks to longevity. It speaks to someone that has been a cultivator of the ground. Here's a person in this example that heard the word, but they were just jumping up and down. They were just so happy and joyful, but they didn't take the time to cultivate their ground. They didn't take the time to nurture the seed that was sown. And as a result, well, it didn't produce. There was no root. There was no root in it, and it didn't produce. It says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, see here we go. Affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended. What this is goes back to even what we said about the stony or the wayside ground. The enemy's going to come for the sake of the word. He's got to come and try and do everything he can to render that seed unproductive. In this case, you know, here we had people that received it, but they didn't cultivate. They spent no time. They just heard it, and oh, glory, glory, glory. It's wonderful. Isn't the word wonderful? Isn't it great? But they didn't take time on a personal level to cultivate the soil of their heart and to empower the Holy Ghost, most importantly, to cultivate this seed in their heart to cause the harvest to come forth. And as a result, the enemy sent. Hey, he can send affliction and persecution for the sake of the word. Why in the world is all this hell coming against me? Why? It's because you got some word inside of you, and you have every opportunity in the world for that word to produce. But if you allow yourself to be taken taken in with all of these afflictions and persecutions, and you start looking at the storms of life, you look at all the things happening to you, and you get your attention off the Word, and you don't cultivate the seed of the Word, you don't empower the Holy Ghost to be your teacher, it's a matter of time before you allow that seed to be stolen away from you, because that is what the devil's after, the seed of the Word. It's the seed of the Word. He's got to get it out. He's got to render it unproductive in one way or another. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown on among thorns, which such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This one verse describes so much of the body of Christ right here, and why the body of Christ as a whole is not producing fruit. They can see the promises. They can see where the word talks about, by his stripes you were healed. They can see it. But there's no way that they're producing it, and they're ending up dying. Why is it? Because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in is choking the word. You've got to, let's go back to my example of the person at the farmer's market today. If he had not given any attention to the squash seeds that he had planted, and had not tended to it and cultivated the ground, soiled it, put some water in occasionally, made sure take the weeds out. Had he not done any of that, had he just thrown the seeds in the ground, prepared the soil a little bit, that seed wouldn't have had any chance at all. So here we are. Here we are as the body of Christ. And we're going to the church services. Hey, we're going. And we're hearing people proclaiming the word of God, saying, here's what the word says about your healing. And they're going off and they're dying. Why is that? It's because then instead of being completely focused on the Word and empowering the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost to bring the revelation, instead of doing that, the cares of this world creep in, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in is choking it, and it's becoming unfruitful. And here we are, sitting there wondering, gee, I wonder why so-and-so died. They're a good Christian. They've been going to church all their life. Hey, where's the Word in their life? Where's the cultivating of the Word? Where's the time spent meditating, allowing that Word to roll over inside of them like that stone rolling in the brook till it's smoothed off the edges? Then it's going to sink into the devil's head because you're going to throw it accurately. Until that point, you're just deceiving yourself if you think that just listening to somebody else tell you about the word is enough. It's not enough. There has to be an active participation on your part, empowering the Holy Ghost, and you meditating on the word. And then you're going to see results. And the last part of this example, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, the 30 and the 60, they saw production. They weren't the ones that had the problem soil or the other issues where the word was choked. These people, they saw fruit produced, but there was some that only saw 30% or 30-fold. There were some that saw 60. They saw some more, but there was some that had 100. Now, again, if you're like I am, I want the 100. I want it every time. How do I get it? What do I need to do? There are some times that I believe that the reason why we shortchange ourselves, in other words, maybe we're still afflicted by some of the wrong preaching that we've heard in the past that's told us, well, like in the area of finances, for example, well, you know, you're supposed to be poor to be a good Christian, you know, some of that trash. And some of that's still lingering on the inside of us. So we're not just combating the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. In some instances, we're combating some wrong doctrine that somehow has gotten in, or some wrong ideas that we have about ourselves, that we allow those things to keep us from seeing that hundredfold. Because bless God, if you know, in many instances, the 30 and the 60, you know, those are wonderful, but they're not 100. And the 100 is what we want. The 100 is where the blind eyes are completely open. We're not seeing. We're not, you know, having a partial healing. We're seeing the whole healing. We're seeing the dead raised to life. We're seeing the word in its perfection manifesting the full harvest. That's what I want to see. And the way we see it is how? Is it just by going and hearing another preacher? No. Is it by attending church regularly? That's a great to do, but that's not going to do it. It's by you taking a personal, active role in your own garden of your heart, and you and I feeding that word inside of us, meditating on it, letting it roll around inside of us, praying in other tongues, and empowering the anointed one and his anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to bring his teaching ministry and bring the revelation so that we can walk in the hundredfold return, the hundredfold harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how it's done right there. Am I doing it perfectly? No. Dear Lord, I should be, but there's still areas that I'm still letting I'm falling short in. So I'm in this just like you are. It is a land to be obtained, but there's some giants in there that have to be slain. So that's another message. Let me go ahead and pray for you this evening. Thank you for watching us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit and his wonderful ministry inside of us. Father, I pray that we can marry together the ministry of the Holy Ghost with your word being sown in our heart, and that we won't just be in one group or the other, but we'll bring the whole message, the full gospel message of meditating the word, praying in other tongues, empowering the Holy Ghost to bring the revelation into our hearts, and we will see the hundredfold return, just like we see in Mark chapter 4 described. It's there. It's a land to be obtained, and Father, we purpose in our heart to obtain that land, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.